Mommy?
This morning, we're going to carry on with looking at the fruits of the Spirit. And so our reading this morning is Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Having already considered love, joy, peace, and patience, we've now arrived at the fifth manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. And the dictionary definition of kindness is the quality of being warm-hearted and considerate and humane and sympathetic. Someone once said that kindness is one of those very few things that you can't give away because it's always returned to you. And the poet William Wordsworth said, the best portion of a good man's life in his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. In the NIV Bible, the actual word kindness is used 44 times in the Old Testament and 12 times in the New Testament. But in addition, there are other instances where similar words are used, which basically mean the same, such as being kind, gentleness, and goodness. And we can see that the kindness is an attribute which is very important throughout the whole of the Bible. And the Bible has got many examples of kindness. From the Old Testament, let's consider one such instance where we have a really good example with King David, and it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. When King David came to the throne in Israel, and it was the custom in those days that when a new king came to power, he purged the nation of all the former king's family because they might well try to regain their power. And the easiest way to make sure that didn't happen was to kill them all. So when the entire family was wiped out, it was close to making sure that they weren't going to try and kill you and retake the throne. But David did something which went against logic for that day, and he did it because of his great love for his best friend Jonathan. He wanted to demonstrate special kindness to someone from the family. And he found out that his best friend's crippled son, when I get some new teeth, I'll be able to say Mephibosheth, wasn't being properly cared for, and he invited him to be like a son to him. And David took Mephibosheth into his own household, and Mephibosheth always sat at the King David's table as part of David's family. And David called this the kindness of God, which is the same word that's often translated as kindness in the NIV. In the New Testament, the most dramatic examples of kindness are found in the person and the ministry of Jesus. We know of his kindness when he spared the host great embarrassment at the wedding in Cana. When the wine ran out, Jesus kindly converted water into wine and saved the day. We know of his kindness to Zechariah, who was in the tree. Instead of ignoring this sinful man, Jesus walked over to him, talked to him, offered him forgiveness, and accepted him as one of his disciples. And perhaps one of the greatest demonstrations of the kindness of Jesus is found in John chapter 8. And here we have an account of a woman caught in adultery. Jesus was teaching one day before the temple in Jerusalem and was suddenly interrupted by a group of very excited men who had in their midst a dishevelled, frightened young woman. And they said to Jesus in high-pitched voices, "You're not going to believe this, but we've just caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now we know what Moses said should be done to a tramp like that, so what do you say?" And that was a very awkward interruption. Jesus hadn't had time to prepare for it, and he realised that these people were not just interested in the law of Moses, they were trying to trap him so as to discredit him. The law said that any woman caught in adultery should be stoned to death. Well, I see great wisdom in the way that Jesus responded to this unexpected situation. The first thing he did was not to answer the question at all, but to stoop over and begin to write with his finger in the dirt beneath his feet. And this is the only time in the Gospels that we're told that Jesus wrote anything. So therefore, there's always been great interest in what he actually wrote with his finger. But I think that what he wrote is far less important than why he wrote it. Why did he write on the ground? Maybe there's another explanation for why he stooped over to write on the ground. If you think about the circumstances of the situation, this frightened woman was probably brought into that public place either carrying her clothes in her hands or at least in a badly disheveled state. So in addition to being fearful and not knowing what was going to happen next, she also had the excruciating embarrassment of having all those leering men looking at her in her exposed condition. And I think it may have been an act of incredible kindness that caused Jesus to stoop over, and in writing in the dust, he deflected the eyes of these men and gave this woman a chance to pull herself together. If this in fact is why he wrote in the dust, I think it's simply an expression of something that Jesus was absolutely essential to Jesus, and that is that his heart was amazingly kind. He never tried to add burdens to those who were already burdened. Jesus never did things to people that made it more difficult, given the difficult lives that they were already living. It's said of Jesus that he never broke a bruised reed, he never quenched a smouldering flax. There was a kindness in Jesus, a kindness that enabled him always to try to do something that will be part of the answer and not part of the problem. And that could be by deflecting the attention of these men, Jesus gave this woman a wonderful chance to at least get herself together again, and therefore convey to her that who you are is far more important than anything you've done. I'd like to suggest that kindness is one of the most creative and powerful things that any of us can do. It's just not confined to the first century. It's not just something that happened long ago. Each of us has it within our ability to show kindness and mercy to other people. Defining kindness is difficult. It's hard to put it into words. I mean, how would you define kindness? I found the definition far more difficult than I anticipated. Although we may struggle with how to define it and how to put its importance into words, that doesn't mean that it isn't very significant. It's the fifth fruit of the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that it's fifth in importance. It has great importance. In fact, kindness has a great deal more impact than most people think. Kindness has the power to touch the hearts of the most hardened people. If we'd enough time, I'm sure that many of you could tell me of the stories where someone was kind to you. We could all tell some wonderful stories. When I started thinking about it, it didn't take too long for several experiences to come to mind that where people have been exceptionally kind to me. And I'm sure if you spent a few minutes thinking about it, you too would discover that many people have been kind to you over the years. So what is kindness all about? Well, for the answer to this question, we need to turn to Scripture to see what it has to say about kindness. There are many times that people are spoken of as being kind. For example, Dorcas is said to always be doing kind things for others. In Acts 9, verse 36, it says, "In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha," which when translated is Dorcas, "who was always doing good and helping the poor." There are passages which deal with God's kindness to us. Ephesians 2, verse 7 speaks of that when it speaks of the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ. It says, "In order that in the coming ages he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." And that is, of course, important, because we benefited from that already, and we're going to benefit it even more in eternity. So have we been seeing one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness? In other words, one of the characteristics of the Christian who's allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way in their life is kindness. To try and expand our understanding of kindness, let's examine a few more passages. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Paul says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." We see that Paul is telling us that there are some things that are to be part of our lives. He says we are to be kind and compassionate to one another. And that's the same Greek word used in Galatians 5 when he talks about kindness as a fruit of the Spirit. And notice that it's a command from God. We are to be kind to one another. But we can take that a little bit further if we look at another passage in Colossians 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." One of the rules of good Bible interpretation is that things which are really important are talked in more than one place in Scripture. We might understand one passage, but if God thought it was important enough to put it in more than once, then it's being emphasized as especially important. And that certainly makes sense to me. Many people think of compassion and humility and gentleness and patience as being godly. But notice that here we have another command to make kindness a part of our lives as believers. And that leads me to the second point. Why is kindness so important? Although the word kind is used many more times in the New Testament, the Greek word most often translated kindness is used just 12 times in the NIV. The King James translates it differently in various places. It translates it as goodness, kindness, and in Galatians 5:22 it translates it as gentleness. But the emphasis on this key word is one thing, which is being kind. I mentioned earlier it's not easy to define. While kindness may be hard to put into words, it's not hard to recognize. When we consider why kindness is so important, it becomes clear that it's so important because it's one of the most effective tools in reaching people with the good news that God loves them. When we don't demonstrate godly kindness in our lives, the result is that people are turned off the gospel before they even hear God's message. We've all seen the Bible bashers. We've all seen those who come up and really get on into somebody, who really have a go at them and really tell them how much they need Jesus and really... ain't being very kind, is it? A kind word, that's what it needs. It's being kind to people. What was it that attracted sinners to Jesus? It was his loving kindness towards them that made them want to be around him. And it's the same for us today. We're not to separate love from kindness. If we love people, as we so frequently command it to in Scripture, we must treat them with kindness. And to do less than that communicates that we don't really love them as we should in any case. In fact, just think about it for a moment. If we don't treat people with kindness, most of them won't even give the gospel a chance. Frederick William Faber, the Christian writer, said, "Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning." Most people will never be Bible scholars in the true sense of the word, but Bible knowledge alone doesn't make a person effective in sharing their faith. As Faber pointed out, kindness earns a hearing for the gospel like nothing else does. So, what does kindness look like? While we must lay the proper foundation, in a sense the final point is the most important because I hope it's the most practical. We must know what kindness looks like if we're going to make it part of our lives. As we saw from the account with the adulterous woman and in many other instances, Jesus always exhibited kindness. It was and still is a part of his very nature. To be kind means to be ultimately more like Christ. So hopefully we're seeing the importance of kindness. I hope by now you do, but I want to conclude with some very practical help. Kindness is a quality that seeks to help others to be appreciative, it's constructive, it doesn't tear other people's reputation to bits, It looks for good in others, and it keeps quiet when it can't be of help. It shows grace and mercy, as the Lord himself has shown towards us. Kindness reminds us of the way God treated you and me by sending his son Jesus to die for our sins that we might have eternal life. Kindness is sometimes sharing the shame of others as Christ did on the cross for us. Our God continues to show his kindness towards us in spite of our faults, in spite of our disobedience, and in spite of our unfaithfulness. He continues to show his kindness by forgiving us and loving us. And as people who follow God, we can bring the most radical change in others by showing and doing simple acts of kindness. And we can do this not by retaliating when others speak against us, but by showing kindness to them. There is a saying that says that when one throws mud at others, it's you that loses ground. To be kind to others, you will find life will be a lot less stressful. Stop holding grudges, devising plans of revenge, and your mind will be a lot more relaxed. Start making plans to do senseless acts of random kindness as the Holy Spirit leads you, and you'll find a new joy and fulfillment in your life that's so rewarding. Kindness is not available in the stores. It's not available on the psychiatrist's couch, and it's not found in the tarot cards and fortune tellers. It's only found through earnestly seeking it from the giver of all good gifts, our Lord Jesus Christ. Being kind doesn't happen unless we put some effort into allowing it to happen in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit living in us should naturally be kindness, but we've got to make sure that we're receptive to what he wants to do in our hearts. Kindness is not instinctive. It's to be asked for from God, to be developed and cultivated. And as Christians, we are to put on the garment of kindness. But I want to conclude with a word of warning. A really important word of warning. Regular practice of such kindness, in accordance to the Spirit's leading, can be contagious, habit-forming, and good for your self-esteem, and extremely enjoyable. So use it with reckless abandon, and may God continue to bless you. Amen.